Hi, this is Vision Destiny 2018, and we're looking at session 5 today. In these sessions, I'm sharing my journals and some of the things that I received as revelation in 2017. What has God said? What has God revealed? The conversations, the visionary encounters, the revelation that are relevant for 2018. What is the application for me, the church here, the wider church? I'm not saying that I understand everything God said. I receive what God said and I've journaled it and I'm sharing it, but I resonate with a lot of it, but I don't understand it all. It isn't all cognitively something that I can say that I fully have a cognitive experience of, but they are encounters, they are my experiences that I'm sharing with you. And I'd encourage you to resonate with what you resonate with, and if you don't understand any of it, then let me park it until God reveals it to you. Everything that God has been engaging in this whole experiences that I've had with him in my journey is to get me to the place where I can live loved. And to live loved, it is where I'm rediscovering my true identity as a son in relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. And that has been a process of healing, restoring, inner healing, restoring my soul, restoring my mind, deconstructing my thinking, doing so much to get me to a point where I can truly know who God really is and therefore truly know who I am as a son. That word love there is the agape love that leads me to rest and remember his image and likeness redeemed in me, redeemed in us. He wants to bring us to that point where we begin to rediscover who he always intended us to be. And then you can love living. Life takes on a whole different experience where we can express the joy of life from the place of rest to engage creation in sonship. Creation itself will begin to respond to us when we're living in this place and we're loving the life that God's given us, and our whole perspective changes. And then we can live loving, expressing the peace found in a relationship as a son in, through, and to everything to bring restoration. It's like loving creation that we are as sons responsible for is when we begin to come into the maturity and are willing to take that responsibility and begin to express it. So God spoke to me a number of times. I'm just sharing some of them. He usually refers to me as son because he's my dad and he talks to me in that way. Sometimes he uses my first name, but I think because I'm going to share these things, then the generic name is easier. Son, it is time for the great lies of man-made religious doctrines to be exposed and the truth to be brought into the light. This is a theme that runs through the last 2 or 3 years of my encountering God. My encounters with him have unveiled the things that I thought were true, the religious doctrines, the theological perspectives that I thought were true because I'd studied them or I received teaching about them. And then as I encountered God, I discovered that they were lies. God wasn't like that. He isn't like that. He doesn't work that way. And so then the truth can be brought into the light. Who God really is. Son, as you stand here in my heart, let the love that I have for everyone and everything that I've created flow through you. And this is God's intention, that we would know him, this heart-to-heart relationship, and then that would motivate and move us as it flows through us to a world which is fragmented and broken and fractured and needs to know the love of God and be restored. Son, I issue you with this task, expose the scandal of the old to reveal the wondrous truth of the new. And the whole of 2017, I've focused my attention in teaching on a series called New Versus Old. And that was, what is a new perspective and what does that unveil about the old perspective so we can let go of the old perspectives and embrace the new. And so I did multiple teaching sessions on different aspects of new versus old. And that really has shaped the conversations where God was stirring me to do that by challenging me to engage this. So this was the task he gave me to in the teaching I was doing and through my own experiences and how I'm talking to people, mentoring people, sharing things within the Engaging God program and other things. This task to expose, it's a scandal. The reality is that God is a wonderful God of love, and religion has actually not expressed him in that way. Son, be bold and courageous. Let nothing intimidate you from what I have given you, which is the task. Our faith or choice does not make salvation true. It just gives entrance into what is already true. And as I was going through this new versus old perspective, my understanding of the nature of God's love, the height, breadth, depth of his love, the power of his love, salvation itself, and the expression of God's desire, how God has reconciled the whole cosmos to himself, all these truths started to come about and be unveiled and revealed as I encountered God, these truths and the ways, and then I shared these truths, became expressions of my own heart. So I believe our faith or choice does not make salvation true. That is my experience in knowing what God did in through the cross. It gives us entrance into what is already true. God has done it all. The cross is a finished event. He has done it for all time. And now we can enter into what he's done. God has reconciled all to himself. He is not separated from us, neither in life or death, but can refuse to acknowledge or experience. We can refuse to acknowledge and experience the truth and the true reality of that relationship and continue to live following the do-it-yourself path. We can choose, you know, but God never gives up on us. God saved everyone from eternal death and has given everyone the gift of faith to be persuaded to change paths, to change our minds, the metanoia, which is the word in English that's been translated repentance, but it's not really a very good translation. The whole radical shift of thinking that occurs when we realize what God's done is really what it means. It is our free will to choose when we accept the free gift of grace through faith. God doesn't force us on it, but he loves us so much that he will engineer things around our lives to bring us to that point where we need him. Eternity has been placed in our hearts. A vengeful, angry God was invented by our own imagination, prompted by the lies and deception of the enemy. The whole system of sacrifice to appease the angry God, to bring about fertility and crops and harvest, was our invention. We created a system that paints God as the angry archer waiting to loose the arrows of punishment into our hearts. God has always been and always will be a loving father wanting relationship with his children. Never has God been angry with us. Is he angry with the things that rob us of our identity and relationship with him? Absolutely. Will he pour his wrath on those things? Yes. Is he angry with his children? No. He's longing like the prodigal in the prodigal son story, the father waiting, longing, looking for us to return. Son, feel and know the depth of that love as it surrounds you and infuses you. Son, let that love be the true motivation for all that you are, think, and do. Son, totally rest in my love and trust in the power of love to reconcile and restore. Romans 8:35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing, including ourselves, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is such an amazing statement. This is the culmination of the passage about sonship, about answering creation's groan, about being revealed as the sons of God. Everything is centered in our engaging love, knowing love, experiencing love, and revealing love. Love is all around. And has the power to overcome and triumph in every situation and circumstances in all ages at all times. Son, love has already won the victory over the last and greatest enemy, that is death. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 15. Son, be persuaded by love's power and make it known to all that this is the true good news. The gospel is the power of love to redeem, reconcile, and restore all things. Exposed to the light of love. The DIY system requires retributive justice, but God's justice is always restorative. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its ways are the ways of death. It was man that required appeasement. It was man that required sacrifices. And you can see that I went into detail in this in looking at penal substitution, atonement, and where those doctrines came from, where this doctrine of appeasement came from and the roots of it. But I believe that those appeasement and retributive justice type requirements for sacrifices were not God's original design or heart. He allowed us to introduce them. Religion reflects the whispers and lies of the enemy that distorted the love of God and paints the picture of the angry God that needs child sacrifice to appease his wrath. God's deepest desire to embrace mankind, his children in love, means he will go to whatever depths to meet us in engagement. God did not want sacrifices. It was our need for retributive justice and not restorative justice. And you can see that. You can see the prophets who were speaking the word of God declared and decreed that it was not God's desire for sacrifices and offerings. Jeremiah 7:22. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. That was God's intention. Of course, they wanted a different way. Verse 23, and you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but they walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their own evil heart, and then went backward and not forward. So what were they going back to? Sacrifices. The sacrifices that they'd seen in their Egyptian culture, the sacrifices that were in the culture of their day. God is not angry in the Old Testament and loving in the New Testament. God has never been angry at people, but with the systems behind people, not with flesh and blood, but with the spiritual powers behind them. God is love. So everything he does is a reflection of that love. Even his being a consuming fire is an expression of love. Psalm 35, his anger lasts a moment, but his mercy lasts forever. So how can there be eternal conscious torment if his anger lasts for a moment? And actually, he wants his mercy to be triumphing over the judgment that we require. In the garden, when Adam chose to believe the whispers, the lies, that God was not angry, but sad to lose relationship. God didn't say, what have you done? He said, where are you? He wanted restored relationship. The sin of following the wrong path had its own consequences. God just pointed them out, but also pointed out the hope of redemption. Son, the light of love is the light of truth that reveals me as I truly am. Let my light shine, and all the darkness will be exposed and brought into light's true perspective. Son, there is nothing that can separate from the love of God, even your wrong choices. But love, as expressed in the fires of purification and refining, is men's choice, not God's. People can choose to refuse to accept the love of God. And in refusing to accept the love of God, if they physically die, they go to the place where the love of God is expressed in fire. And that's a place of anguish. But it's also the fire of purification and refining. They're not supposed to stay there forever. There's options for them to choose to accept Jesus as Lord and come out of the fire. Man's choice to accept Christ does not end in death, and there is no scripture that says it does. God's love cannot be changed by our death. So before we die, it's the kindness, tolerance, patience of God that leads us to a change of mind about him and a relationship. And yet after he dies, suddenly he's an angry, tormenting punisher. No, he never changes. Our death does not change God. God is love and continues to love us. And even if his love is expressed in fire, it is still the love of God. God does not torture or punish anybody. The flood and the seed wars that ensued from the enemy's schemes were an expression of love to keep the seed safe and hope. And this is talking about the Old Testament and what happened in the Old Covenant. And you see, well, how can God of the Old be equated to the God of the New? Everything we see is summed up in Christ, who's the exact representation of God's image. He is God expressed on earth. Therefore, the whole Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and how it was written and the perspective it was received, it comes from an idiomatic expression of, in Hebrew, that points to God as being angry and punishing, when actually the reality is God just took his hands off and allowed the consequences of people's actions for them to receive. So this has been an ongoing battle for the seed. Even in the fire was purification and not punishment. And there had always been salvation through the ark, right through history. It was man who chose to follow the path that leads to death. It was not my desire that man would die. And this is God speaking. Death had been conquered and defeated by resurrection life and had no sting eternally. Love has won. Love will always win, but man chooses which way that they will encounter love. Son, no one can escape from me, as I am in all, and all are in me. Acts 17:21. In me you live and move and exist. Son, now you are able to engage multidimensionally. Your capacity is increased, and don't be caught up in needing to know everything cognitively. When my mind got renewed, it freed me to experience things non-linearly and therefore be spiritually in multi-dimensions at the same time, all flowing together. If I was to try and figure out cognitively and understand that all, it would take all my time just to be focused on it. So I don't need to do that. I only need to know what I need to know. Son, trust and rest and flow. Not know what you need to know will be unveiled. So trying to know is not rest. Resting and trusting God, even in what I don't know, what I do need to know will be unveiled when I need to know it. Son, I want you not to what you can do, so to make your primary focus be on getting to know the true reality of who I am. So God does not want us to be focused on getting. He wants us to focus on relationship. And in relationship, that relationship will be unveiling true reality of who he is and who we are in him. Son, let's walk together. And whenever God says this, we are going into an encounter somewhere. In the garden of the Father, the fragrances of all the living things overwhelms me. And this is my description of what I was feeling when I was taken into the garden of the Father. But three distinct but sympathetic emotions come to the fore: love, joy, and peace. Those were what I really strongly sensed. Out of all the amazing fragrances and things that were in that garden, love, joy, and peace were the three that really began to become, I was become aware of. I feel intoxicated by the raw intensity of the practical way that these three fruits lay the foundation for all life. Love is righteousness displayed. Joy is hope exemplified. Peace is rest personified. These form the basis and foundation for all expressions of kingdom and government and are the fragrances of all legislation. This is built within the fabric of everything. And if we are motivated and moved by love, joy, peace, everything we do will come out of the desire of God's heart and not of our own understanding. Love, joy, and peace are the DNA strands of all creation and fully represent Father, Son, and Spirit. Son, this is not only for the garden, but it is how I am, is in and through and over all things in the creation order. So it's how I am, the name of God, who God is, who he's always been, how that works through the all of creation. And I experienced it in the garden, because the garden, it's intensified and you can engage it, but actually this is what runs through everything, and this is what God's desire is. for the whole of creation to operate on the basis of those three foundational things: love, joy, and peace. And those were the three things that Jesus said that he was going to give us. When the world awakens to this reality and is free from the deception of the matrix blindness, that then creation itself will begin to be reanimated to resurrection life. Son, you must cover resurrection from a new perspective to uncover the fullness of this truth that will awaken my children to their true freedom. When you fully look into what the power of the resurrection is and the new life that comes through resurrection, it is such a key issue. All of us are made alive by that resurrection. No one is now separated from God or needs to be separated from God because of the power of the resurrection. Everyone died in Adam. No one has a problem with that. All are made alive in Christ. It doesn't say that only those in Christ are made alive, but all are made alive in Christ. Resurrection, awakening in relation to new birth and inclusion, being made alive from spiritual death, my spirit poured out on all flesh, are factors. And this was God unveiling this to me in conversation. Now, I had to go back over this to see what was he trying to tell me? What was I revealing? And then I went back to the scriptures and I'm seeing there it's revealed, just I couldn't see it before. The resurrection and the judgment have taken place. The old order ended and a new order began. But this true reality has been obscured by layers and layers of futurist doctrine that has kept my children locked in future hope of what is already realized. See, if you can take the truth and if you can apply it to some future time or some future people, then you can stop people receiving it now. And this is what those demonic doctrines are about. They put everything off to a future, so stopping people having the reality of what is theirs and their inheritance now. Remove this veil from the eyes of my people so they can fully experience the reality of what is full inheritance now. When you cross over into the new, it is all new there. There will be a transfiguration that takes place, even with your physical bodies, to prepare them for the ages to come. As a man thinks, so is he, by the renewal of the mind to the capacity of the mind of Christ. That's what's going to happen. The prophetic timetable must be reconfigured to reflect the truth that you now know regarding the meaning of the new from an eschatological perspective. What God was saying is, when he revealed to me principles of prophetic unveiling of things and in a prophetic timetable, he had to speak to me in the language that I then understood. And now I've gone deeper into him, now then that can be refigured. Not that the principles have changed, but just the language used to represent what I now know. The hope of the parousia, which is not the Jesus is coming sometime, but the presence of Jesus now, must become a present expectation, not a futurist dream. See, parousia has been put off into the coming or the second coming of Jesus, whereas parousia actually should be translated the presence. So in the presence of Jesus, all of us can come into the fullness and not be limited. The restoration of all things become an ongoing focus for the embassies of heaven to colonize the earth. So when we establish embassies of heaven on earth, new order ecclesias operating under heaven's government, we are going to colonize the earth in love. Not by war, not by taking things from people, but by restoring things to their original condition so that, for instance, the garden representation of God's presence in intimacy for Adam and Eve was to fill the earth. It still is. The Joshua generation are the key as forerunners to bring this freedom to become unveiled to this generation. It will resonate as the deconstruction of 1600 years of false religious doctrine is exposed and the slippery slope becomes a full roller coaster ride to freedom. You know, people are accusing me and others of being on a slippery slope away from orthodoxy. In reality, orthodoxy moved away as a slippery slope from the truth. And we're on this roller coaster ride to bring us into freedom away from what is considered orthodox into what is actually the truth, what was originally believed. most of what we believe as Orthodox is actually an evangelical perspective over the last 200 or 300 years. We need to go back to the radical roots of the early church to actually see what is the Orthodox position as was passed on in discipleship through Jesus' disciples to others. Son, you have legislated for new beginnings. Now legislate for the deconstruction that will be a vital component to the unveiling of true kingdom reality. So I went and I went into the court of kings with a scroll and I engaged there for the law of deconstruction. The context for this is the renewal of the mind, Romans 12, the removal of the old, the pillars challenged and shaken by the love bombs of truth. Now, I mention a lot about love bombs. One of the 12 chancellor's houses in the realms of heaven is a weapons house. Now, when you tend to think of weapons, you tend to think of swords or spears or arrows and things like that. And they are hand-to-hand weapons. And there are things that we can use, but they're love weapons. So when we fire an arrow into someone's heart, it is to penetrate their hardness with the love of God. But there are also things that I can only describe as love bombs. They are love poured out from heaven to explode over a person, over a church, over a town, over a city, a region, over a nation. And they're expressions of the truth of who God is, which will be so dynamic in their experience that they will begin to shake people from their old experience and they'll never be the same again. And these love bombs are love bombs of truth. The powers of this law. You are authorized to accelerate the process of cognitive dissonance. So look out. You're authorized to release traumatic encounters that will fracture the illusions. You're authorized to expose the old to new levels of revelation. You're authorized to release messenger angels to affect mind quakes. So a mind quake is when our mind gets shaken with the truth that challenges what we used to believe. And it feels like a quake is going on. You are authorized to increase the intensity and pressure for transformation through facilitating deeper dimensional encounters. The jurisdiction of this law is for the Joshua generation. So you are authorized to call for the radicalization of the Joshua generation by deconstruction. Now, radicalization is bringing things back to its radical roots, back to the truth, bringing us back to the original understanding experience of God, which needs to deconstruct our religious frameworks that has created the wrong image of God within our minds. The results of this, you can expect greater opposition and a falling away of those who are not bold and courageous. You can expect an accelerated transition for those who embrace deconstruction. You will need trauma centers, places of rehabilitation for deconstructive and deprogrammed. It can be traumatic, but actually it's life-changing. One of our intensives that we're doing in 2018 it's about deconstruction and renewal. And so we are providing a trauma center for people to be able to engage this, be transformed by it, and then to enable them to outwork that in a safe environment. There is no dying to self. Well, what does that mean? Because didn't Jesus say we need to die to self? Taking up the cross, dying to self, was before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So through the cross, this has been transformed. I died with and was raised with him. Even when Paul said he died daily, he was figuratively talking about the persecution that he was facing. We don't need to die to self. We need to awaken to the righteousness and love. So is it semantics? Well, in some senses, people are trying to die to self and it becomes self-effort. Whereas when you engage the truth becomes the fact that we no longer are what we used to be because we've been transformed by the truth rather than we're trying to die to what we were. We have all died with Christ and we've all been resurrected with him. We need to live in that truth. Transformation is the fruit, not the goal. The goal is knowing God. That was always the goal. Knowing God will produce the fruit of transformation over time. But if my goal is transformation, then I'll end up just trying to figure out how to be a better person with God's help. Change is good, and we can all go for it and desire it. But ultimately, the way is knowing God. The way to change is through relationship. Transformation is the fruit, not the root. Love is the root. Son, the key is sonship and the full understanding of the Father's heart of love. Religious duty abounds from sincere hearts, but freedom is limited and governmental authority restricted to prayer. This is the old. Son, be bold and do not be afraid. Just be yourself and trust me. Let me flow the living waters from heaven to open the doors. Son, call the benches of three to be bold and go beyond their limitations and dream big to see the world ablaze with the fire and passion of sonship. God wants to establish foundations of benches of three that reflect heaven's government on earth. And if people are responding to those calls to come into those benches, they've got to be bold and go beyond what they can imagine or think with their limited understanding. God wants to set the world on fire with passion, with sonship. Son, call forth the Joshua generation within the various church movements. Son, call for the door to be opened, the veils removed, and Jordan's waters to be held back. These are figurative things, crossing over into the new. Call for the wilderness bondage to be exposed, brought into the light, and challenged. Foundational government of benches of three will always be the key to expanding the boundaries. You have to start from a solid foundation to see the boundaries extending our tent pegs go on. The call for sons to arise must go forth. Send the angelic messengers, release a fresh sound for the mountain thrones to be invested with lords. This is why we're doing Sons Arise conferences and intensives this year, responding to what God said, to his heart, to engage sons, to call them out, to invest them in their heavenly position, seated in Christ in heavenly places. I call for the sons of God to arise and come forth to take their places within the government of heaven and earth. I call for the laying down of the old structures to embrace the new. I call for the foundations of empowerment to replace the mediatorial coverings of men. I call for the desires for more than this to rise up within the hearts and minds and a flow of heavenly manifestations to come forth. I call for the removal of the veils of darkness from the sons of God. I call for the forerunners to arise and cast off their shackles and step out into the light. I call for the shrouded mist covering the hearts and minds to be dissipated. I call for a revolution, a new fire to be released, an all strange fire to be extinguished. Let the cry of hearts come forth. There must be more than this. I call for the barriers and walls of resistance to come down. I call for an open heaven over all gatherings and a flow of heavenly manifestation to come forth. Son, it is time to refocus your efforts to the blueprint of your design, your destiny in sonship. Ready in the truth of who you are in me, that I am the circle of relationship, the I am circle of relationship. Son, let me draw you deeper into the true reality of who you really are as a son. Son, there are more limitations and restrictions to be removed from your being. Son, you must see reality if you are to choose it. Your vision must not be restricted by the mist, fog, and smog of the world systems you live amongst. Son, rise up. See from where you are positioned and seated in the rest that releases your authority. This is in the heavenly realms. Son, now draw from the reality of what was before there was to administrate what is, to create what will be, so the end and the beginning will truly be in union. Son, if you truly can begin to rest in love's reality, then nothing is impossible and everything is a potential possibility. Love is the foundation and the essence of all choices and all possibilities, and therefore all realities must be established on the relational precepts, statutes, and laws of love. Relational love is who I am, and you have been included in me from before there was, so you can also be the fullest expression of true love, and all reality must express love's essence and expression. Sometimes I wish God would speak less cryptically so I could understand him, but he expresses it and it stirs my heart to engage it and to experience where it's going. Son, how I long for my true identity as love to be known by all my children, so all will know who they are in their true origin and identity fully expressed. Son, the restoration of all things is the true focus of your destiny, now being unveiled before your eyes, that now you have the capacity and ability to engage. All limitations and restrictions will be removed, so you can see with an unveiled mind what is the height and depth and breadth of love that will cross all the dimensional boundaries of the ages of time and space, being no obstacle to restoration and reconciliation. Son, live loved in the blissful knowledge of I am, so you can truly love living in the fullness of joyous knowledge and live loving, expressing the overwhelming peace that flows from our mystic union. Son, I untether you from the chains of the earthbound limitations that have blinded you from the light of love's true potential and power. Son, you must free my people from the lies that have trapped them in the matrix of religious impotence, and shine the light of truth to expose the false orthodoxy of the control systems of the religious and political leaven that have infiltrated and infected my people. Son, use all that you have legislationally at your disposal to expose the scandal and set my people free from the Egypt they are living in whilst wandering around the wilderness. Son, bring the full weight of the laws that you have to their fullest extent against the slavery to the religious systems and against the theological doctrinal unbelief that supports it. Acts 3. Fully restored sons leads to the restoration of all things as per God's original intention and design. And God really wants us to embrace the full reality of Acts 3, 19 to 21, what it really means. Fully restored relationships, family, planet, universe, dimensions, reality, dichotomies, God to man, man to man, man to creation, heaven and earth, what was and is to come, spirit, soul, body, angelic realm, everything that is separated, paradise restored and beyond. And that's just the tip of the iceberg to full restoration and what restoration really means. I am just starting to grasp the full sense of what that means. And it is challenging to say the least, but amazingly filled with potential. Son, you have been called and chosen and your destiny unveiled as a chancellor of heaven and a legislator on earth. Son, you are an ambassador for the Joshua generation. It is time to make representation for mercy and grace, as the time and season is about to shift focus for the forerunners. Justice according to the judgment of the 70 will continue, but grace must begin to be called forth. Grace, manifold grace, and grace upon grace are the seasons to come forth beyond the capacity of your present experience to explain or understand. Beyond normalcy will stretch your imagination so that you must now start to engage beyond, not just in the reality of your mind's consciousness and in the non-linearity of your present, but in the physical non-linear experience. I'm looking for whatever that means. Son, get ready and be prepared for suddenlies to begin to appear as your normality. The physical laws are about to be rewritten from beyond, and you have been chosen with other forerunners to be part of this process. Son, it is time to arise and shine like stars as the mountain of the house of the Lord rises from the wilderness prison to the place of prominence governmentally. Son, go back to your journals and engage grace, because now you are ready to see what was impossible to see back in 2010. And I did that and went back and read my journals for 2010 and realized how little I really understood. But now I at least know a little bit more. The limitations and restrictions that have been and will continue to be removed will make it possible to engage grace, manifold grace, grace upon grace, as a reality, first within your consciousness and then within your created reality. Son, you are authorized to unveil and expose the Bible for what it is and what it is not, to bring the next generation into the freedom that my written word was intended to bring. Son, the major views of truth will need to be redefined as a living word, not futurist, historicist, or preterist. In fact, not a fixed system of belief, but a relationship narrative expressed through the mystery of the mystic union where deep meets deep. So in other words, all our systems of belief are going to be messed up when we start to experience the true narrative of relationship that comes as we engage deep to deep with God himself. Son, you're authorized to expose theology as the folly of the ages, to unveil true reality of the living, active, powerful word. Son, the Bible as you know it is neither inerrant or infallible, and sola scriptura is a mythical construct of religion that has removed relationship to replace it with dogma, doctrines, and creeds. Son, relationship is all in all, and the process of deifying a book has to be exposed, or else my people will never be able to go beyond the introduction into the marriage relationship I always intended. The book is but a doorway into new reality with me. Open the possibilities that exist through the event horizon of the wormhole, or as it has been written, through the looking glass to the reality. So we can step through the written word. It is a doorway, but that's what it is, a doorway into reality. It's not the reality itself. Son, present realities will fade away into past, the past, when you start living from beyond. 2 Corinthians 10:5 in the Mirror Bible. Every lofty idea and argument positioned against the knowledge of God is cast down and exposed to be a mere figment of our own imagination. We arrest every thought that could possibly trigger an opposing threat to our redeemed identity and innocence at spear point. The caliber of our weapon is empowered by the revelation of the ultimate consequence of the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ dwarfs the effect of disobedience of Adam into insignificance. You can read about that in Romans 5, 12 to 21. Son, it is time to be bold and hold nothing back in speaking the truth in love. Do not be afraid to ask questions that bring things into the light. Son, expose everything that is not aligned with your blueprint or with the reality of love. Son, be honest, open and honest in all your dealings with everyone. You do not have to please everyone, but you do need to be truthful. Son, I'm calling you to prepare for the seasons of grace by ensuring that all aspects of justice are fully realized in you as forerunners. Get the legislation in place that will administrate justice continually as the foundation for grace to be released and established. Son, the lies of the enemy that are believed bring guilt, shame, and condemnation and create inadequacy and fear. The true identity and destiny bring confidence, realizing that we are not the source of our own authority. Son, expose the lies so that the truth will bring a true freedom that brings the arc of position and identity to create true heavenly authority. In other words, when you know who you are, your identity, and when you are seated in your position, true heavenly authority is released. Son, my justice is to invest those who accept the guilty verdict of the judgment with heavenly and earthly governmental positions of authority. So when we're willing to acknowledge that it's all about him and not about us, when we realize that all we've done in our DIY methods and pathways amount to nothing, when we accept that verdict that the old is ended and the new's come, then heavenly governmental authority will be at work. The old had been judged and found wanting when weighed in the balance that reflects heaven's blueprint for governmental foundations. So God is looking at the systems we live in and unveiling them to reveal that they were never God's intention in the first place. The new must rise up and take its place, but it must continually remain a flexible wineskin able to receive the flow of new wine revelation. We don't want to get into creating our even more new theological systems and doctrines rather than relationship, because then that will stop God continuing to be revealed to us. Son, guard against becoming rigid and inflexible by being continually open to my voice and truth. Son, evil is nothing more than following your own path. It is the labor of DIY self-effort. Son, the hardships of following your own path is evident to see in the world. Son, don't focus on the behaviors, but on the futility of walking alone. Evil is neither a person or a thing. It is a life of self-poneros, and poneros is the Greek word that's translated evil. Son, man desires to personify evil as the devil or Satan, but he was just the first to choose to walk his own path. Son, the sin is not a set of wrong behaviors, but a mindset that has lost the reality of the true identity and walks the DIY path of self-fulfillment. And I did a whole session or two sessions on, well, what is sin and what's original sin? What is it? Where does it come from? What does it mean? Religion focuses on behavior because then behavior needs to be punished or appeased. But God focuses on identity, and sin, hamartreia, is the negation of our identity, therefore the loss of our image that we were originally created in, and therefore we're seeking to restore that image in our own DIY methods. Son, I have called you to reveal this truth to my children, to unveil the total futility of the pathway that they're walking on. And I've been walking on that pathway myself. The pathway of the trees are but the way, the truth, and the life from two perspectives. The perspective of man brings death and poneros, evil, and the perspective of God brings life in abundance. The fruit from the DIY tree is a poison that has passed through the seed to all mankind, but the fruit of the tree of life is righteousness, peace, and joy in overflowing abundance as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of Christ, the tree of life, is your true nature and character in sonship. Take, eat freely of the abundance of its supply. Son, lead my children back to the source, who is me, so that they can taste and see that I am good and pleasant and full of grace, truth, and abounding in mercy. The tree of life is in you, just as you are in me. Take, eat, and experience the lavishness of grace and love. The tree of life is a representation of the inexhaustible supply that is Christ, who is always good and always in season, and who is always for the healing of the nations. Eat freely of the fruit and see the restoration of all things bring independent nations back to relational families. Son, I am is a statement of truth, but the reflection, am I, can be a question that reflects lost identity or a statement that reflects true destiny and purpose and the mirror image of sonship. Who am I is the cry of the lost soul, but here am I is the cry of a son in full mystic union about his father's business as a full co-heir. God is I am, and if we are am I, do we know who we are? Because if we don't, then we're looking to know who we are. And that's the cry from mankind, lost in its separation, the way a man thinks he is. And if we think we're separated and mankind thinks they're separated from God, then they live a separated life. And we need to bring about a revelation of the mystic inclusion that all of us have in Christ. Son, you are free. The false religious perspectives of me designed by the DIY tree path, the false frameworks of doctrines that imprison your conscience have been exposed. And that is what God has been doing, deconstructing these frameworks. The images that have kept you yoked to the law of DIY have now been revealed as idols, and you were appeasing through fear. Son, cast off the restraints and live free from the images and idols that presented the distant deity, not the circle of love, and the dance of joyful relationship. Son, revel in the freedom of love, expressed in the true image and identity of your design as you see me face to face. Son, I am, so you can truly be included in me, separated in any way, but the perfect not separated in any way, but the perfect reflection in the mirror of my face, where you are free to say, here am I. Son, set your focus on the freedom that beckons my children to come out of the bondage to Moses, mediators of the wilderness, to embrace the promised land of their full inheritance as sons, not slaves, to religious systems and coverings that have obscured who I am and therefore who you can be. Son, I long for my children to be free from the bondage of slavery and service produced by the systems of DIY religion. Blow the silver trumpet. Herald the call to freedom that awaits my children beyond the wilderness, beyond the veil, untethered from their earthbound limitations and restrictions. So once again, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who gives us his joy so that our joy can be full, who loves us with the love that he received from the Father, look into his eyes, look into the deep pools of love that are represented within in his eyes. I'd encourage you to embrace that. And then as you thus begin to think about him, focus on him, meditate on him, just close your eyes. And as you look into those deep pools of peace, as you look into that amazing reflection of that wonderful expression of who he is, just let him take you deeper. Deep is calling to deep. Let him take you deeper. Let him take you beyond. Let him take you where you've never been before. Just go deeper into him. The Prince of Peace is calling you to rest. It's calling you to intimacy. It's calling you to relationship. It's calling you. Come deeper. Come deeper into that call. Come deeper into him. Allow him to take you where you need to go, to unveil the truth of who he is, to take you into that place of the fire of his love, of the passion that he has for you, back into his heart, back into that place where you were created, where you were first thought of, back home to that place where you can re-engage with who he really is and where who you really are. Let him take you. Let him realign you to that true place of identity in him.